Welcome to Greg Way in the Car with me, Greg Miller. I am the Click Commander. That was for Ricky. Ricky in the comments wanted me to recite the entire speech from Jay and Silent Bob, but come on now. We'll just do that. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Instead, we're going to talk today about a question from the one and only Paul Smith. Paul writes in on pretty much every Gregway post with something, so I don't use you all the time, Paul, but today you had one, and I thought it was a good conversation starter. Again, I'm driving, so the paraphrase goes, do you think video game journalists set expectations too high? Paul said to the effect, Blessing and I have set our expectations so high for Spider-Man that if it's not a perfect 10, it's going to be a letdown. And then Paul said, why can't we just enjoy games for what they are? Spider-Man doesn't have to be a 10 to be my game of the year, Paul said. And then he's like, what do you think about all that? And so, Paul, I'll tell you a shocking secret. No game has to be a 10 to be my game of the year. I think you sound like you're kind of wound up about something that just doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? Review scores are made up. We all make them up. We're making them up. It's just a way to shorthand what you think of a game and how you want to talk about a game and how you want to critique a game. Game of the year is a completely arbitrary award that is awarded by 1,700 different outlets based on their own criteria, based on their own plays, based on the only thing they care about. Like, this goes back to when IGN was a 100-point scale, and I would fight against that in meetings and be like, by having something and saying it's a 9.2 or a 9.3, we sound like we have a scientific method. We sound like we're going back into a thing and sitting there going, well, fun weighs out to be this much and value is this, and you put it all into the hopper and it comes up with this score. It doesn't. So like, why are we trying to act like it's so specific when it switches person to person, when it does all these different things? It's why I was happy to see IGN go to a 20-point scale, now a 10-point scale. Why I like our 5-point scale, right? Because, as always, the score doesn't fucking matter. It's about the discussion. Spoiler alert, everybody. If you ask me to vote right now, in this moment, go cast a ballot, Starfield might be my game of the year. And that game's fought its way up to a 4 out of 5, but it's still like, hey, guess what all these problems are with it and all these, you know what I mean? But like, I can't stop playing that. I want to keep playing that. And I love it for a very specific reason. Now, is Starfield a better game than Tears of the Kingdom? Absolutely not. Tears of the Kingdom is a phenomenal game, right? Like, insane gameplay mechanics, you know, yada, 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 yada. The story doesn't have its hooks in me like Starfield does. What do you play a game for? What do you play a game for? What does a Greg Miller play a game for, right? That's why having critics and having outlets that are very specific, you know what I mean? You would never hear me talk about Armored Core or Lies of P if I was just Greg Miller, if it was still youtube.com/gameovergreggy, right? Maybe I would try those on a stream or something, kind of like Janet does, but I sincerely doubt you'd see me banging the drum being all about it, right? But we bring in Blessing, Andy's Tastes Evolve, yada yada yada. You find these things in these people there, but it's impossible for anyone to sit there, play everything, and do everything. So like, yeah, no game has to be a perfect 10 to be game of the year. That would be boring. I think it's a boring year for as much as Zelda's going to win. That's why it's kind of exciting of like, well, Baldur's Gate 3, right, is like, turns so many heads. What is that going to do for game of the year? And are we going to see a lot of upsets or even a few upsets? And what does the Game Awards look like? And et cetera, right? Back to very specifically me and Blessing talking about Spider-Man 2 and expectations. I mean, yeah, it's why people listen to us, right? Is the idea that we have opinions about games and how they're marketed and made and what they're going to do and how it's going to be, and the fact that, you know, Spider-Man 2018 was a great game that I truly, truly loved, but it wasn't my game of the year, right? Like, I think we are looking for that uptick. We are looking for Insomniac to push it forward. And does Venom and Kraven and everybody else do that? Is that what's going to be? Is that how it's going to go? What about story twists? What about gameplay mechanics? Like, there have been so many Spider-Man games that, yeah, there needs to be an expectation from Insomniac that, hey, we are a Sony first-party studio making a game for Marvel's biggest IP, you know, one of the most popular superheroes in the world. We knocked it out of the park on the first one when people didn't necessarily expect that. They didn't necessarily expect us, Insomniac, to fucking deliver the greatest Spider-Man game of all time. And now we're trying to sequelize that. We're trying to move on from that. And so we're going to tackle the symbiote and Venom and that. Like, I mean, like, expectations for this game are going to be there no matter what, just because of the IP, because of the developer, because of including one of the greatest Spider-Man stories of all time, including one of the greatest Spider-Man villains of all time, right? Like, you're like, why can't we just put our expectations aside and enjoy the game? We will. That will happen. But nothing in this world happens in a vacuum. And this is the, you know, double-edged sword of marketing in our business, that we talk about games for years, and not even us. I mean, like, PlayStation shows you a trailer, shows you a teaser art, your mind starts to run. It's the same thing that happens with me in movies, right? Where, not so much now because we're so busy, but, like, you know, when they were doing, fucking Bryan Singer was doing set videos from Superman Returns, and I was just devouring every piece of information I could get on the internet back in the day and on Krypton site. And, like, you know, the prequel comics came out, and you read all this stuff, and you see the trailers, like, holy shit, this is going to be great. And then you get there, and it's not great. You know what I mean? It is a two-hour movie that doesn't hit the points they said they were going to hit and doesn't reach as the highs it could have reached. Like, that's life. There's an expectation on everything. And, like, you can say, oh, man, like, the expectations are too high for Spider-Man. I mean, that's what happens when you have a world-class studio and a world-class IP on a world-class platform. I mean, like, this is the fucking main event of WrestleMania. Yeah, there's gonna be expectations here, and there can't not be. Now, if Spider-Man comes out and it is a 7, I'm gonna fucking enjoy the shit out of that 7. I would assume I still platinum that 7, unless they have some really dumb trophy in there I don't like. Like, you can enjoy a game, period, no matter what the score is. You can also review a game and give it a score lower than a 10 and be like, it's my game of the year. You can review a game lower than a 10 and be like, I just fucking love this game and I'm gonna keep playing this game. Like, that happens all the time. Like, what you're talking about, Paul, is just the elimination of review scores and then and critiques, right? And then, if even beyond that, right, it would then be never looking at anything ahead of time, just going in blind on anything you're playing, which of course doesn't tell the story, right? Like, that's one of the things that, you know, got beaten into my head in my early days of IGN. I would come back in 2007 from my demos, and Craig Harris would ask me how the game was, what it was, and then who the developer was. And I rarely knew back then, because I was very much like, that still hadn't clicked in my head of, like, the people making the games are not the people publishing. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't necessarily know. And so even when I did know, he'd be like, well, what did they work on before? I'd be like, I don't know. And he's like, you gotta know, man. Like, that's the lineage. That's the thing. You can see what they've changed and what they've done and what they learned from their other projects. And again, like, for me with Spider-Man, right? Like, and you want to talk about expectations, I thought they fucking crushed it with Miles Morales. Now, Blessing didn't, right? But again, that's a justified opinion. He has the work to back that up, right? When you're mad about a review, I guess, right? You have to sit there and be like, well, did they show their work? You can disagree with a review, but if you sit there and listen to the reviewer and go, man, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree with that point, or that doesn't make... It's back to, well, that doesn't matter as much to me. That thing that annoys you doesn't annoy me as much. That's why my score is different, because, again, we're judging art, right? Back to the Starfield conversation, right, where we were all over that panel from threes, you know, talking about 2 out of 5 issues, but 3 out of 5s and 4 out of 5s, and me being there like, well, I could go up, but I understand where everybody is. Like, that's the joy of what we do, is talking about it and hopefully talking to people you respect about it on shows, and then hopefully listeners listening to people they respect and being like, yo, I might not agree with the opinion, but I appreciate where it's coming from. I appreciate what's coming from it. And so that's the whole thing of, like, you're like, well, there shouldn't be any expectations. Can't we just enjoy the game? I assure you, I am going to enjoy the flying fuck out of Spider-Man. Even Web of Shadows, which I did not like when I reviewed it, and I know I still get shit for it, right? I was still playing a Spider-Man game. I was still happy to be Spider-Man. You know what I mean? It was over the top and whatever, but I was enjoying playing Spider-Man. So I'm going to have a good time with Spider-Man no matter what. You will have a good time with Spider-Man no matter what. So I guess then we don't need to review it, right? We don't need to review it or talk about it again. It's going to be a good game. We're all pretty sure. We're all pretty set on that. So, like, that just doesn't make sense, Paul. I'm sorry, Paulie Smith. It doesn't make sense, sir. You got to sit there. You got to critique. You got to have expectations. That's what this entire business is. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want the critiques, you don't want the opinions, just don't listen to video game criticism anymore. Watch the trailers in your states of play. Or don't even watch that, because then you'll have expectations. And just kick your feet up. wait for games to show up at GameStop and go, oh man, didn't know this was coming out. Wolverine in 2027, amazing. I hope that answered your question, Paul. But of course, it's an ongoing discussion. Let me know in the chat or the comments. Not the chat. We're not live on Twitch. The comments there on Patreon. Remember, of course, you can write in, ladies and gentlemen. Tell me what weird Jay and Silent Bob reference you want me to make, but also ask me questions. Spur on for future episodes. Remember, I'm taking 2 weeks off. So tomorrow, Friday, is the final Greg Away with me. I have not talked to Mike, but I imagine Mike will take over from there. But they also might pass it around. They kind of hot potato Greg Away when I'm not there. So we will see. Until next time, I'm at a stoplight, ladies and gentlemen. It's been my pleasure to serve you.